Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk about, since 'tis the season, moving from NFHS to USA softball. So in our area, that's high school ball to summer ball. And what some of those rule differences are that you're likely to encounter. Neither of us, so USA in Ohio, USA softball is kind of the main summer ball piece. There's a lot of U-trip that goes on, but neither of us do umpire that.
Yeah, main for us. No offense to the U-trip world.
Yeah, but so it is for us, so we're going to speak on what we know. So there we go.
Yeah, so let's talk first about a bunt and what is a bunt. So in high school, the rule is a bunt is a legally batted ball not swung at but intentionally tapped with the bat. Any attempted bunt is any non-swinging movement of the bat intended to tap the ball into play. Holding the bat in the strike zone is considered a bunt attempt. In order to take a pitch, the bat must be pulled back and away from the ball. That's high school. However,
yep, you were looking, 281 and 282 for that. But in USA ball, for definitions of a bunt, a pitched ball that is intentionally tapped with the bat slowly within the infield. It is not a bunt attempt if the bat is held in the strike zone.
Right.
So in NFHS, you must pull the bat back to take the pitch. In USA, if the person holds the bat in the zone perfectly still, that is not necessarily a strike, depending on the location of the pitch. She has to make an attempt to tap at it with the bat. So, which is funny because when you bunt, depending on what you're doing, I wouldn't tap the bat anyway.
Right. You should be catching it.
Yeah. I mean, that's for a certain one. Maybe if you're trying to bunt for a hit, maybe you're pushing a certain way.
Push bunt.
Yeah. But usually I'm going to catch the ball with the bat and that's not going to move the bat. Right. Anymore. That's interesting.
Yeah. And we kind of, and maybe errantly, I guess, but in my mind, and I think we've even talked about this in some of the, I remember I posted in a Facebook group about it. The difference between, you know, people say, did she swing or did she bunt? You know, and well, the wrists broke or, you know, things like that. And what I've used in the past anyway, and I think I still do in my brain, did she let the ball hit the bat or did she try to hit the ball with the bat? You know, those are two different things, really. And it's if she's trying to put the bat into play and let the ball hit it, right, then that's definitely a bunt. Mm-hmm. And then if she's trying to hit the ball with the bat, I typically call that a swing. So unless it's like a push, right? If she pushed it out there, she's moving it and she is trying to hit the ball with it, but it's really more, no, I'm going to let the ball hit the bat and I'm going to push it, you know, to a certain spot. So, you know, it's still not a swing. And that's how my head works.
Yeah. And some people assume a bunt means you had to slide your top hand up the bat in some way. And that's not necessarily the case. I've seen plenty of people bunt by keeping both hands on the taper or the handle of the bat.
Right.
You know, it's not maybe the greatest way to do it, but I've seen it a lot of times in baseball, especially people will do that. They won't slide their hand up because you'll get hurt. You can get hurt. So yeah. So what we're looking for is, so that's probably a pretty good rule of thumb as far as telling the difference. But the important rule difference here that we care about is that in NFHS, if the bat is left in the zone, we're automatically calling it a strike, regardless of the location of the pitch, because you made an attempt. And in USA, that's not an attempt, just sitting it there.
Yep, for sure. So the next one to talk about is the strike zone. So the strike zone in NFHS is, you know, the batter's armpit and top of the knee. And it is exactly the same in USA softball. So armpit and top of the knee. So, and we are talking about the top of the ball to the armpit, and that's a high strike. That is by book rule, that's a strike in both high school and USA. That's a high strike. Mm-hmm. that's a high strike. Even my pitching daughter, who was also a hitter, did not like. She didn't, if she got, as a pitcher, if she got a strike called against the batter, that was armpit high, she was like, ooh, got away with one there. She thought that was a high. She's like, Dad, that is not a strike. Yes, it is. Read the rule book. But anyway, they don't like them up there for sure. Double bases, of course, another something that here in Ohio has been adopted where we have a double first base. And you actually have the ability to do that USA softball as well. So those are exactly the same. Even though it's about rule differences, these are some important things to understand. So we're pulling that out too.
It's funny, just an interesting difference, not necessarily rule in a way it kind of is, but in NFHS, catcher's box is 10 feet long by 8.5 wide. But in USA softball for fast pitch, it's 8.5 wide and 7 feet long. The box is shorter in USA softball. If you want a 10 by 8.5, the same as NFHS, that is slow pitch USA softball. The fast pitch one is only 7 feet. It's 3 feet less deep.
I knew it was 7 feet. I didn't realize that the high school one was longer than that.
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Cool. Assuming this is not lying. No, I guess maybe
now we might look that one up. So we're looking at a table that had been put together by Federation and posted on their website. So we're going to double check the rule book. But while Pete is looking that one up, I want to talk a little bit about erasing the batter's box line. So we all know those slappers that like to jump in the box and get rid of that front line because they don't want to be called out of the box. And so in high school ball, you know, it's a violation for them to do that. They get a team warning. In the USA softball, there is no rule about erasing those lines. So hopefully, you know, we're at Berliner. They don't have them anyway a lot of times. So,
yeah.
But in USA, if they come in and wipe that line off, you have no recourse against them by rule.
So it is, in fact, 10 by 8.5, according to the NFHS rule book for field definitions.
I'll be darned. Official bats are the same. So NFHS Federation utilizes the USA bat list. The approved bat list is there. There's no list posted for NFHS, but the reference says that you use the USA ones. So the certifications and bat markings and that. The damaged bats piece is so similar that it's not even worth talking about. For now, we still have knob restrictions for the bats, and I say for now because that's a proposed rule change. So probably good to talk about the softball. As you know, we made some rule changes back in the NCAA, NC2A, and NFHS both. So effective January 1st of 2025, the actual softball itself has this exact same specifications as USA. And so that was a big push from the softball manufacturers to try to get all the sanctions to use the same specifications for a softball.
Yeah, so it's easier to source the ball.
Yeah. And we did have trouble with sourcing. Of course, it was caused a lot by our COVID time, but they had a hard time coming back. And then as soon as you make changes, you know, NFHS made a change. They were supposed to change, or NCAA was going to change to the Dudley or to the, you know, there was something, right? And mm-hmm. The next thing you know, they couldn't do it because of supply. And so that's when that whole thing started, and now they're the same. So lineup changes. So anyway, we're all the way up to rule 4. We skipped all of the stuff about uniforms and equipment and things like that. This would be a tremendously long episode if we tried to go through all of those. I mean, there's literally 100 different lines in here in this sheet that we're looking at. So we're up to rule 4 and number of players to start a game. You have to start with 9 players in high school in Federation ball. The rule in USA ball says a team must have the required number of players present in the dugout to start the game. So that it's still 9, but they have to be there. So
in NFHS, you go down a little further. NFHS lets you have 9 to start the game. You must have 9, but you can have 8 in order to continue. But if you go to the shorthanded rule for USA, it says teams can play shorthanded to start or continue a game. The game can start or finish with 1 less player than required, which is 8. The game can continue with 1 less player that is currently in the batting order. So you could start with 8, even. In high school, you cannot. In USA, you can start with 8.
Yeah, they still have to be there.
Yes. Yeah, so that's the point the first one's making is you can't only have 7 and realize that 8 is in traffic waiting to get into the complex, and you know that by the time she bats, she'll be there, and so you're taking a chance. No, if the umpire notices, you don't actually have everyone there. We can't. That's not an acceptable lineup to submit.
Right. Pretty big one here on the unreported substitute. So in high school ball, players and substitutes shall not enter the contest unreported. If they do, the umpire shall issue a team warning to the coach. The next offender shall be restricted to the dugout and bench for the remainder of the game. The head coach is also restricted. In USA ball, there's no penalty of disqualification for the unreported sub. If the unreported substitute is an illegal player, then they get ejected. The player gets ejected. Coach is fine, but the player is out of here. Projected substitutes, the act of entering a substitute without first removing a player from that position in the lineup are not permitted.
In NFHS?
That's in high school. Mm-hmm. And in USA, there's no rule. It's controlled by umpires as part of good game management. And so in the mechanics area, you know, for USA, when they say, hey, I'm going to put her in to run and then I'm going to re-enter the next one. I'm not allowing that. So because of game management, I've got my card and right now she's in it. Mm-hmm. In order for me to make a change to that card, it has to be a coach that makes that change. And so I'm not going to make the in and out at the same time. Not to be confused with projected substitutes. So here's what's not a projected substitute. The offensive coach comes in and says, hey, 13 is going to bat for 12 and 13's up.
Yeah.
And 15 is going to bat for one. That's not a projected sub, even though they're not up yet. He or she has substitute.
And if somehow three outs were to occur, because he said that to you, your expectation is that person will go play defense.
That's right.
Because they're in the game now.
They're in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a projected sub. It's not a, well, once this happens, I'm going to do this. It's like, nope, that's a real sub. He walked out. He or she walked out and said, 13 for 12, 2 for 4. Yep. Got it. Scratch 13, scratch 12, whatever, right? So that's different.
The use of electronic equipment. So this is a new thing that happened to NFHS this year, that NFHS, during the game, the use of electronic devices by team personnel shall be permitted for coaching purposes within the team's dugout or bench area only, provided the point of the origin of a communication is outside the field of play. You know, there's some allowances there. And in USA, it says no electronic equipment, to include cell phone, pagers, et cetera, are allowed or warned to be carried in the playing field. Effect disqualification or ejection after a warning.
Run ahead rule. That's different. So in NFHS, a state association may adopt their own game ending procedures to determine how games are ended. Here in Ohio, it's 10 after 5.
Yep.
10 runs after 5 innings. And now some will say 4.5.
If the home team is ahead by the...
Yeah. But in Junior Olympic USA ball, it's 15 after 3, 12 after 4, and 8 after 5.
Now, I'll tell you what. Honestly, I wish high school would adopt that rule as well.
I do too.
Because 10 after 5, like, I guess the goal is we just want to allow the players to play longer. We went out, but some of these games are so mismatched, no one's gaining anything.
Yeah, if they're already up 15 after 3, they're not getting any benefit out of playing the fourth inning.
Yeah.
Right. So I truly believe that, and you'll hear that in our JV versus varsity episode from, is that 37th, I think? The time limit. So as far as USA, of course, high school, no time limit. At least here in Ohio, states may adopt game-ending procedures, though. So in Ohio, we don't have that. We don't have time limits in Federation ball. And the USA rule is 1 hour and 40 minutes finish the inning, beginning with the first warm-up pitch, is the USA rule. But most of your tournaments that you're going to go to are going to apply their own rule set to that.
Yeah.
And then also probably not have any type of time limit on championship games.
Yes, that's what I've seen every time. I've never... once encountered anyone recommend we follow this 140 at any tournament I've done.
Yep. High school ball, as far as tiebreaker rule, a regulation called game has a tie score when ended, as in 4-2-2. It's a tie game unless the state association has a tiebreaker procedure. Whereas in USA ball, we are we're doing the last batted out, which is not actually true. The person who is scheduled last to bat in that inning is placed on second base at the top of the eighth inning. So after a 7-inning game, if the score is tied, we are placing the person scheduled to bat last, or the person to bat before the person that's up,
yeah,
I would say, is going to go to second base.
There's a slight change in taking a signal, whereas most of it is the same as USA softball and NFHS, but in NFHS, they must simulate taking it, the signal from the catcher, the sign from the catcher. So that's get on, look towards the catcher, take that delay that would simulate a sign, and then go. Interesting, the USA allows for the pitcher to make 2 full revolutions of the arm on a windmill pitch. And for NFHS, it's not more than 1.5.
I can't even see that in my brain. I can't. So Pete just did 2 full. and now do 1.5. That makes no...
Well, I think then that one is... maybe it involves after... Did it say... is that after? Because, like, are you allowed to release and it can only come to here?
Well, let's read the rule. So it says...
you're at 614D in NFHS and 6A3D in USA.
So in NFHS, not more than 1.5 clockwise revolutions of the arm in the windmill pitch. Whereas in USA, 6A3D... the pitcher must not make more than 2 revolutions of the arm on the windmill pitch. A pitcher may drop the arm to the side and to the rear before starting the windmill motion. So if I go to the rear and I come up and around.
So maybe that's the point, is that in high school, you go like this, and then I immediately am like out and around. But in high school, in USA, I could go
back and go around again. Yeah, if I see it twice, I'm probably calling that out. You can't do that. That's illegal.
That's strange.
We might have to read 6A3D. We'll check that out. All right. There's a 24-inch rule about pitchers not drawn, pitching lane not drawn, you know, stepping outside of the 24. This one's really hard to call because we certainly don't draw them in the summertime, but the rule still exists. If she is, and watch for this, guys, when they're doing a drop curve, you'll see a lot of people, they'll come across their body with the arm and the leg, mm-hmm. and they'll land completely outside of the plate. Screwballs, sometimes, you know, they come across their body on a screwball, and so they'll jump over to the first base or third base side of the 24-inch plate. So you gotta watch for that.
Yeah, and unless the person has really wild mechanics, it's most often gonna happen when they're set up and begin their pitch near the edge of the pitcher's plate, you know, to middle to the side, you know, and then I'm stepping wide. Because it'd be hard for a girl to start maybe on the third base side and like break the rule stepping to the first base side. That is a long, you'll see that for sure. She almost finished in the splits.
Right.
You know, so it's going to happen more. That's when your radar should be going, woo, when you see her near the edge to begin the pitch. You're like, uh-oh, there might be a violation here.
Watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so here's one that you'll see for sure. Difference between high school and USA. In high school, if the defense wants to intentionally walk a batter, they just call time and say, hey, Blue, put her on. And she trots down to first base and is happy if there was nobody on and, you know, she just got a free base, or might be upset if she's the number one RBI generator and there were, you know, bases loaded. She's going to be a little upset you walked her, but you just put her on. But in USA ball, you must deliver all the pitches legally. And this is a fun one, too, because you could, in this, the right coaches or the wrong coaches, if you will, have tried to say, well, just do illegal pitches. And then, you know, they get automatic balls for that. And the answer is no, you're not allowed to do that. So batter hit by a pitch, not in a strike zone, Pete. Here we go.
Yeah, we actually broke down this across every rule set in one of our episodes. But the truth of the matter is, in USA, you have to make an attempt. And in high school, you don't, to get out of the way. You cannot move into it in any sanction. That's a no-no.
Right.
But that's one of the first things that happens, especially in my early summer tournaments every year. People who just got done playing high school ball, pitch will come in, player won't move. I'll say, dead ball, you're right here, you know, and they'll be like, well, and then the coach wants to come out and argue about it. Coach, what is she supposed to do? What she's supposed to do is make an attempt to get out of the way.
That's right.
Well, how is she supposed to do that? By moving. Coach, I don't know what to tell you. Let's go.
Yep. Runner advancing on a base on balls. So because of the rule that we had in NFHS and the Federation, there's an intentional walk. If there's an intentional walk, the ball's dead. But in USA, if you're forced to vacate a base because a batter was awarded a ball, then the ball's live, and then the look-back rule becomes into effect. So you can run. So if you're a runner at first and the batter gets walked, this is USA ball now, USA ball, and the batter gets walked on four balls in their plate appearance, and you trot down there to second base and you touch second base and you walk around second base by three steps, you may stop once. If the ball's in a circle and the batter runner has reached first base, you may stop once and then choose your direction and get it.
Yep.
So
there's a big difference here on obstruction definitions. It's mostly in the length of the definition. For NFHS, it's a fielder not in possession of the ball or not making an initial play on a batted ball impedes the progress of a runner or batter runner who is legally running the bases.
That sounds like obstruction.
Full stop. For USA, when a runner advancing or returning to a base is obstructed by a fielder who neither has the ball or is attempting to field the ball, or when a fielder fakes a tag without the ball, the obstructed runner and all other runners shall always be awarded a base or bases which would have been reached in the umpire's judgment had there been no obstruction. In the umpire's judgment, the defensive player making a fake tag could be ejected from the game.
See ya.
So what's funny is USA defines obstruction by using the word obstructing. So it says, returning to a base is obstructed by a fielder. It doesn't say impedes the progress. It just says obstructed. I assume maybe we're just going by the definition of obstruction probably somewhere else in the book. But
I would guess.
That's no fun.
All right, so we're almost at the end here. So there's one on physical contact with an umpire or opponent. And in a recent episode, or soon-to-be-dropped episode, depending on in what order we put them, in a recently recorded episode, we talked about the myth of a player must slide. And so in NFHS, in Federation Ball, the runner is out if she remains on her feet and crashes into a defensive player. Malicious contact supersedes obstruction. So they didn't get the whole thing in this Excel spreadsheet. But if the contact is malicious, then she is going to be out. Whereas in USA ball, when a defensive player has the ball and the runner remains upright and crashes into the defensive player, there is no mention of maliciousness here. But if she stays upright and crashes into the player, she is out.
It's funny, too, the USA one mentions the defense player has the ball.
Yes.
NFHS does not mention the ball at all. So does that mean if I crash into a player without the ball? Like, well, if I don't like the third base person and I'm coming running around and blast her.
Well, it's obstruction.
But what if I blast her?
That's malicious.
Yeah. Well.
Well, that's different. This is physical contact, not malicious contact.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So it's just that NFHS brought malicious into the conversation. USA didn't yet. Oh, wow. Here's one I didn't know. So on the look back rule, the NFHS rule specifies that placing the ball under her chin or between her legs is still considered control of the ball as it relates to the look back rule. So the USA look back rule here says it shall be in effect for all runners when the ball is live, the batter runner has reached first base or has been declared out, and the pitcher has possession and control of the ball within the pitcher circle.
The thing is, it doesn't specify that, and maybe the NFHS does, but I would include having control of the ball. If I stuck the ball between my legs, that's where I put it, and that's where it stayed. That's control.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. So, yeah, interesting that they called the difference out there. Courtesy runners. Courtesy runner may be used for the pitcher or the catcher. Defensive changes involving the pitcher and catcher must be reported to the plate umpire. It's the same in both of these, with the only exception is that in high school, in the top of the first inning, only the pitcher and catcher are identified as those players listed on the lineup card. That's not a requirement in the courtesy runner piece for USA ball.
And USA says defensive changes with the pitcher and catcher must be reported. And NFHS says defensive changes of the pitcher and catcher do not have to be reported.
Wow. They do when I'm on the plate. I'm not sure why I do that then. Protest, misconduct, that kind of stuff. You're going to do that based on what the tournament director tells you to do. Anyway, several times in this, as we conclude, several times they've mentioned in here good game management. And so we've talked about that a little bit when we talk about umpire mechanics and game management. But if you keep your cool, keep your head on a swivel, and always follow the ball, most of the time you're not going to have any trouble with these. So big changes here, Pete, really, are she has to try to get out of the way.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to pull the bat back on a bunt attempt,
mm-hmm.
right, for it to not be a strike. She can't tap at it. You know, she can't get at it. That's really the big stuff.
Yeah, and the one about starting with eight being different than high school, you're not likely to encounter that too many times at some of the summer, you know, tournaments. But if you are, at least they're on here, most rec leagues follow USA softball rules, which means that this is now in effect for them as well. And you'll see that a lot with rec teams who can't get eight girls to show up. And, you know, we played shorthanded. I can't tell you how many times when my daughter was playing rec at 10 years old. So,
right. I will leave you with this thought. Please, 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 as you go to your USA tournaments and your U-Trip tournaments, you know, whatever sanctions you're working this summer, if there is an umpire meeting, please attend that meeting. Please pay very close attention to the instructions that you're going to get from either the tournament director directly or through the UIC from the tournament manager or tournament director. They have their own rules about many things. Drop dead times, time limits, who can be used as a courtesy runner.
Mm-hmm.
Are they allowed to bat everyone? So pay attention to those rules. Yeah. It is very frustrating for us as both umpires and UICs, and it's frustrating for coaches too, to get to a 32 field facility, and depending on who the umpire is, the rules are different.
Right.
That is not cool. So please, please, please find out what the rules are for that tournament and be consistent in applying those rules. And just remember that in USA softball, she's got to try to get out of the way of that pitch if it's going to hit her.
Definitely. And hands are never part of the bat.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yeah. Hands are never part of the bat. Anyway, I think that's what we have for you today.
Yeah, that's it. Until next time.
Thanks for listening.